Welcome back. It is 7:36. Wake up Memphis on the Money 990 AM, 107.9 FM, streaming all the time at Money990.com. And don't forget to check out ToddStarnes.com. It's ToddStarnes.com. And you've got his unique insight, his commentary, all the latest, greatest episodes of the Todd Starnes National Show, and plenty more. You heard his morning commentary about Herschel Walker. He's got a couple of great stories there about defending Herschel Walker. And go to ToddStarnes.com, and you can check it all out right there. Before we even move forward, we want to make sure that we send out our best wishes, our prayers, to State Representative Ron Gant, who was injured in a collision in Hardeman County late yesterday afternoon. He was airlifted to Regional 1, and we lift him up in our prayers. We go to the phone lines now, talk to our friend and political analyst, Steve Gill. Steve, good morning. Ron Gant injured a couple of counties east of here over in Hardeman County last night. Good morning.
Yeah, a great guy and a great representative. And as you mentioned, prayers lifted for him to get a quick recovery. You know, again, it is a tragedy that happens all too often. You had the congresswoman who was killed in a car wreck that Joe Biden couldn't remember she was dead when he was trying to introduce her, you know, the other day. But, you have all these late night travels on the road as legislators dash back and forth to Nashville to campaign events. And it's just the more time you spend on the road, the more at risk you are. So prayers for him. And by the way, thanks for having me on the award winning Tim Van Horn show. Congrats to you and your entire team. The award ceremony at the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters representing and recognizing the Tim Van Horn show and team as the best in the West.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you. It was great that you got to tag along. I hate that I didn't get to see you again. A little bit of car trouble. We've gotten that since rectified. Now, if we can just fix our country as quickly as I got the car fixed, that would be a wonderful thing.
Tomorrow, though, I will see you tomorrow. I'm coming in and filling in for Todd tomorrow. So as people are tuning in to the Todd Starnes show, they can hear my illustrious voice.
You don't say. And yes, illustrious. I think that is actually the spot on adjective that first came to mind as well. We look forward to that. Here in the state of Tennessee, we have a brand new attorney general, and Scarametti. You know about him. We've talked about him, Jonathan Scarametti, and he is looking to be a leader among attorneys general. And word on the street is he is pushing back against a proposed change to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, as they're trying to slip in more gender identity stuff without going through the legislature.
Yeah, Jonathan is quickly becoming a superstar in the ranks of attorney generals around the country. He is quickly becoming one of the best, and Tennessee is being extraordinarily well represented. He has, as you pointed out, he's trying to rise up with some fellow attorney generals and push back against the Biden administration's efforts to put more of the transgender stuff into the Obamacare processes and procedures. He's also leading the fight against credit card companies and banks starting to try and put provisions in to limit or restrict people's ability to buy weapons, to exercise their Second Amendment right by putting in some sort of a penalty provision or a restrictive position on using your credit cards or bank accounts to buy a gun, tracking those who buy guns, which sets up essentially a registry. So, man, Jonathan is just doing a great job, and I'm not surprised. I was thrilled that he got selected, and I think all Tennesseans are going to learn more and more about him and recognize that he is truly emerging as one of the best attorney generals in the entire country.
And that's something that we can be proud of in Tennessee. I know that we looked, and of course, we're very happy for our friends to the south in Mississippi. They have a terrific attorney general there in Lynn Fitch, who's doing a great job. Yeah. And now we can say we've got a good one, too. It's good news.
Yeah, Steve Marshall in Alabama. We're surrounded, Daniel Cameron in Kentucky. We are surrounded by some great attorneys general, and Arkansas to the west. Yeah, there are about, I think, 27 Republican attorney generals in the country. There are plans that hopefully we can pick up perhaps another three in this election cycle. And this has never been more important, because assuming we pick up the House, we pick up control of the Senate as Republicans, you're still going to have Joe Biden in posture to issue executive orders. And what stops those are the lawsuits that the attorney generals, the Republican attorney generals, have been filing and being successful in blocking some of the, you know, crazy schemes and scams that Joe Biden and his administration are putting into effect through executive orders. If we could take control of the House and hopefully the Senate as well, we can really stymie the ability of Democrats to pass legislation that will continue to damage the country. But you still have the power of the pen, with the president being able to do the executive orders that have also been so harmful and restrictive, with attorney generals like Scrimeti and others being able to lead the lawsuit fight to block him in his tracks. That's going to be more important than ever, and picking up another two or three or four Republican attorney generals is going to be important.
Do you find it bizarre, or at least maybe frightening is a better word? I don't know. In your words, you look at the race in Georgia, and it's pretty much a dead heat between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock.
Yeah. I think the good thing is that we're already seeing that so much of that polling is tilted in favor of the Democrats. Either they overpoll Democrats, or they underpoll Republicans, or the way they structure the poll, they're asking adults rather than registered or likely voters. So there's a lot of ways to tweak the polls. But the bottom line is you've got to get out and vote. And we saw in Memphis during the most recent local elections, people stayed home. And I'm going to do an absolute call out to people in the pews, those who have a Christian faith, those who have a religious belief. If you're staying at home and not heading to the polls, you're letting the other side win. You can complain all you want at church on Sunday and after church at lunch. You can complain all you want, but if you're not getting up off your rear end and getting to the ballot box and voting your faith, if you're not praying, you're not discerning, and you're not voting, then you're letting the other side take the lead. And we saw that in Memphis, where people stayed home. We've seen it the last several presidential cycles, where 17 million Christian evangelicals — we're not even just talking about people who identify as Christians — 17 million Christian evangelicals either were not registered to vote or did not show up to vote. And those numbers were more than enough in the last election cycle to provide 10, 20,000 votes in those key battleground states where many of us believe votes were stolen. But if we turn out enough of our vote, we don't have to worry about whether they're cheating at the ballot box or stuffing the ballot box. So, you know, the Bible says if those who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn their face to God, he will hear our voices and heal our land. But it's in our hands to first humble ourselves, to pray, and then get up out of the pew and head to the ballot box and vote for those who will protect unborn life. Vote for those who will protect religious liberty. Vote for those who will preserve the sanctity of marriage and preserve the morality that God decrees in the Bible. And it's up to us. It's in our hands. And we have been AWOL as Christians all too often. Too many pastors aren't afraid or are afraid to talk about politics from the pulpit because they don't want to lose their tax status. They can talk about politics. They can talk about the issues. And they can certainly encourage folks in their church to go and vote. May not want to cross the line and say, go vote for this person. But if you're voting the right issues, you're going to know who the right person is.
That's a great point. Steve Gill joins us on Wake Up Memphis. And as you mentioned, we recently came out of an election in August. And crime, big issue. And crime was taken up yesterday in an ad hoc committee in Nashville on the adequacy of the supervision, investigation, and release of criminal defendants. Department of Correction, they must have had lunch catered in, because I don't think they left that committee hearing yesterday, especially after Representative Andrew Farmer talked about Cleotha Abston Henderson. He's the one that's accused of kidnapping and killing Eliza Fletcher, that he had over 50 disciplinary infractions stacked against him, yet they still let him out 4 years sooner than his 24-year sentence. And I was doing the math just on a small sample of his offenses within the jail, and some of those were possession of a deadly weapon, and then at least like six or seven indecent exposure charges in there. And this is a guy they let out 4 years sooner than his full sentence, and because of his behavior was not so good all of the time, they might have even let him out another half year sooner than that.
Yeah, Tim, we're hearing a lot about the DAs around the country and the no bail policies and the defund the police. But our criminal justice system is so broken at this point at so many levels, whether it's letting people out early because we don't classify or pay attention to the fact that they are not even able to obey the rules while they're incarcerated. We've also had a couple of recent cases around the country where you have a father at Marist University attending his son's, you know, college visit day, gets gunned down in the lobby of a hotel by two guys who had no business being out and had been caught in possession of firearms before as felons. There ought to be if you're caught in possession of a firearm and you are a convicted felon, you go to jail. You don't pass go. We don't have to go through the judicial process. You go through as a convicted felon, you are automatically guilty, and let's hold you and incarcerate you because you're already breaking the law by owning a firearm, possessing a firearm after you've been convicted of a felony. And there's no reason that the federal court shouldn't be stepping in immediately and enforcing the laws on the books regarding felons in possession of firearms. That's going to stop a lot. It's also going to stop a lot of these guys from carrying firearms around with them, because they're going to know if they get caught in possession, if somebody notices that bulge in their back pocket, they're going to jail, and they're going to think twice about carrying the weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to talk with Tennessee Speaker of the House Cameron Sexton on this. I know he's hot under the collar about all of this, and we're going to hear that in his words as well. Follow him at The Gill Report and catch him tomorrow from 11 until 2 Central Time right here on this and over 130 stations across the country, as he'll be guest host on The Todd Starnes Show. Steve, always great to hear from you, and looking forward to your guest host gig tomorrow right here on the Mighty 990.
I'll see you tomorrow, my friend. Keep up the good work, and again, congratulations on the award.